I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
The Slaughter Podcast will be discussing topics that some listeners may find disturbing.
If you're still listening, you need to take a long, hard look at yourself. Welcome to... what episode are we on?
Four
of Slaughter, True Crime Podcast.
Episodio quattro.
We made it. We've got four. That's legit.
Like, four's the barrier. Like, if you've got three, fuck you. Who gives a shit? Three is like, you can do three of anything. Like, I learned three instruments. Can't play them now. Who are you, violin?
I learned three languages.
What happened to you, piano? Goodbye, trumpet.
Four's like, that's a thing now. Like, this is... Four was here to stay.
Number four was the recorder. That's the one that I am a virtuoso recorder player.
Fourth relationship, yeah.
That's is that the one? Point. So the next one's the one, right?
No. He's the one. So I thought we could start this episode, because we've done nothing this week, because it's cold and dark. Just making a few recommendations of things that we've enjoyed, listening, watching, reading.
Yeah, with the podcast Twitter, people sometimes ask, like, have you heard of this, or have you heard of this podcast or this murder? And it's nice to have that sort of open dialogue about what people are into. And
on the Facebook page, no one has posted any weird murders yet. Come on, get on there.
No, they're too busy posting love.
Yeah, they did say that we were one of the best.
Someone mentioned, had we heard about the Lobster Boy murders? Yes, excellent episode, just recently, the latest episode of Last Podcast on the Left. I'm sure if you're listening to this, you're already a fan of Last Podcast on the Left. If not, make it your new religion.
Yeah, I mean, I like Last Podcast on the Left, but it's not my go-to. But I did listen to the Lobster Boy one and I really enjoyed it.
How long did you spend looking at pictures of people with lobster hands?
Not that long. I haven't even really...
I'm going to say a good 40 minutes.
Really?
Yeah. I wanted to get closer and closer.
I did mention it to a student. I mean, my students have realised I'm the teacher who likes talking about murder now.
Because his son is like still alive, lobstering away.
Well, yep. Apparently in American Horror Story, they use that. They do like a weird like sort of freak show murder thing in American Horror Story, and there's a lobster guy in there, and it's sort of based on that. So one of my students was telling me about that.
You'd think, being a co-host of a true murder podcast, I'd be into that. 15 seconds I got into American Horror Story before I was like, nope.
It's ludicrous.
Nightmares for me.
I tried season one, watched about four episodes, and then I just googled what happened in the rest of the series because I couldn't be bothered.
Just the soundtrack alone made me shit myself. I have zero tolerance for scary things. Can't do it. I don't want to be frightened in my leisure time.
No. Other things I've been enjoying. Guilty Feminist, particularly with all the election stuff. I would not try and talk about it myself, but I think Guilty Feminist and the Guys We Fucked podcast both did like a female spin on the election and enjoyed that.
Oh, nice.
Sophie Hagen, I follow quite a few of her podcasts, and she's got a show touring at the moment. It's the same one we saw in Edinburgh.
Oh yeah, I loved that show.
It's really good.
Like, she mentioned Ed Gein and we lost our shit. We're like, oh my god, I know him too. We went up to her after the show, and Lucy just went, nipple belt.
Yeah.
I was like, well, way to introduce yourself.
Yeah, I was like, you like murder, nipple belt. She was like, yes, very nice. So
If you don't know about Ed Gein's nipple belt,
yeah, where have you been?
Where have you been?
Check it out. Yeah, so that's the stuff I've been enjoying, podcasts generally. Any books that you can recommend?
No.
No. Can you please go on Facebook? Because I want to get some for Christmas. Please go on the Facebook page, S'Laughter, recommend true crime books, because I'm not...
Definitely.
I need more.
I went Waterstones today to be like, okay, I need some books. I need to... you know, get some research in, and I was just overwhelmed. I was like, okay,
yeah,
I need recommendations because they're just too much for me to handle right now.
So should we talk about some murder?
Yeah, things I've been enjoying myself and the murder I'm about to bring you.
I thought you were talking about masturbation then.
No.
Who's first this week?
Oh, it did sound like masturbation, didn't it?
I've been enjoying myself. And a nice hot bath and a glass of wine.
Not in the bath.
Okay,
stop. So, I'll be bringing you a modern murder this week, breaking from tradition. One from just this year. This year.
Oh, my God.
The Spalding double murders became famous for having the youngest couple to commit a double murder.
Well, thankfully, I'm doing an old one after that, so... if we feel like we can't make jokes because it's too recent for your one, we could just rip the shit out of the old one afterwards.
Yeah, their families are dead.
Yeah. Nobody knows them.
Okay, am I going first?
Yeah.
Right, so we have a little bit of a challenge for you here. The Spalding double murders, like I say, happened this year. And because at the time... as the youngest couple, they were 14 at the time of the murders. So their names haven't been released at all to protect their identities. People have different views on protecting murderers, but they were children and they've got a whole life to live. That's the decision that we do here.
That's what happens. It's like basically if they're under 18, that's...
yeah, you don't release their names. Yeah. So
I bet you could find out their names, but...
well, there's more reasons why possibly they've also not been released. But rather than just saying the girl, the boy, I feel like we should give them pseudonyms.
Okay.
For the rest of the episode. Have you any ideas?
Quentin and Gabrielle.
Oh, see, that sounds a little too fabulous. Like, when you hear a bit more about them, they're quite emo.
Oh.
Like...
I don't know, Quentin.
There's a lot of bedroom.
Oh my God, I'm going to like totally die if you like wear that skirt. Oh my God.
Falcon
and Storm.
Falcon and Storm. Fanene Storm. And Falcon Nightbeard.
Yeah, beautiful.
Okay, which one's the... okay, Storm can be the girl, Falcon the boy.
Yeah, sounds about right.
So, Storm Lightning Bane and Falcon Nightbeard... met at school. They knew each other all through secondary, and then in May 2015 they got together, started a relationship. 13-year-old relationship though.
Like, you're an emo kid, I'm an emo kid, let's be emo together.
It's almost exactly what it was. Like, she was like, we have the same attitude to life, is how Storm described it. And she said that many people found Falcon annoying. I thought he was interesting. So he was a bit of an outcast, and like, not just an outcast, a quiet guy. Like, he was irritating. He was he was disruptive, loud.
Something about teenagers, isn't there, that where they think, I'm the only one to have ever experienced this, and I'm so much deeper than everyone else, and only I understand. It's such a teenage sort of mindset.
You think you are the first person to ever... those thoughts to cross your mind.
Like, and everyone else is in the system and you're above it and you're the only one who's aware and enlightened.
Yeah. I mean, we're speaking from experience.
Yeah,
here.
I know. That's exactly how I thought. I was like, I'm different to everyone. No, I'm the fucking same. Everyone's the same.
I still bought my clothes from a shop that produce other clothes.
Yeah.
Like, it happened.
You were all the same.
So she was like, he's the closest I've ever felt to anyone. He's the one. So they were together for quite a long time. So that was May 2015. March 2016.
So her teenage relationship, that's like...
yeah, that is long-term. Serious. That's like marriage. So Falcon... I was going to call him Falcior then. That's better.
Falcior
got excluded from the school due to uncontrollable behaviour. Like, he didn't, having a girlfriend did not get him to pipe down. He was still being loud and leery. And he was sent to a special unit, which, so obviously this is recent. Yeah, this is pretty recent. So I think we, as both work in education, to get sent, we know that to get sent to a special unit,
I mean, it means you're like rampaging around the school and
you have to be violent. You have to have really seriously,
like, you're mouthing off, you're rampaging around the school.
You have to have hurt, like, somebody or threatened a like, you have to have been,
you're stomping under the other kids' hands.
Because yeah, exclusion isn't common.
No.
But that didn't stop. Like, she wasn't bothered by that. They continued to their relationship out of school. And this is around the time that things start to go downhill. So, March the 17th, Storm actually attempted suicide. Oh, so, 14 years old, she obviously had, beyond the level of just emo self-centered, like, she genuinely needed help.
Yeah.
At that time. I mean, sometimes we talk about these murderers that have, you know, gone on to do things and have gone without help for years and years and years. But to be at this level at 14, you know, she was not just...
Yeah.
She genuinely needed some intervention.
And jokes aside, mental health services for teenagers in this country are horrific. I mean,
actually, so for her, she attempted suicide and was admitted to hospital. And then because of age, she was immediately referred to CAMHS, the... Child and Adolescent Mental Health Services.
Yeah.
So she was under surveillance, and she was aware, like, authorities were aware of her. Mm. She was flagged up. But her relationship with Falkior did not help things. So it was very intense, very intense. Like I said, it was them against the world. So April 9th, there was a disturbance at the local McDonald's involving Storm, Falkior, and some other people. Now, this took place in Spalding. It's like sort of the Lincolnshire area, which is known as one of the fattest counties in England. Boston, one of the parts of Lincolnshire, was actually the fattest town in the UK at one point. So the fact that a lot of these events are centering around McDonald's, so, does not surprise me.
Highlight of the community, queuing out the door.
Yeah.
Give us our McDonald's!
I mean, the M1 doesn't even go to Lincolnshire, so... if you can't get there on the M1, I'm not massively interested.
No. It's no man's land.
So there was... as the reports go, there was a disturbance at this McDonald's, and afterwards, Falkior and Storm were barricaded in one of their bedrooms for over 12 hours. Their parents said they couldn't get them out. They were just totally shut up in there. And I mean, when you have your first teenage boyfriend, to be shut up in a room for a long amount of time is not necessarily a worry. Like, they're getting down.
Do you think? Well, surely they've got parents knocking on the door going, come out, come out. I mean, it'd be hard to concentrate on some...
they did have a sexual relationship at this point. I mean, being 14, it's totally illegal. But it's said that this is where they first discussed committing murder. And the target of their murder was a lady, Mrs. Edwards, and her daughter, Katie. Now, it's said that Storm had a long-standing grudge against this woman.
Hmm.
It's not clear if she was involved in the disturbance at the McDonald's. It just says a disturbance. I mean, again, this is so recent. Loads of the details are specifically being kept out of...
So they were at McDonald's, they were a disturbance, but it might not have been them causing just saying, the disturbance.
That, like, signalled their time to go home.
Could just be they ran out of Big Macs and, like, the fatties were revolting.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, they were only sentenced the 10th, like, last week.
Yeah.
So it's really, really closed a lot of the details. So this is when they first discussed it. And later in her interviews, Storm had just said that she'd always thought about committing murder. Like, it's something that she'd wanted to do for a long time. And I think...
I mean, there's emo, but then there's, like, that's not normal.
Oh, definitely.
I mean, like, wanting to drink another teenager's blood, you know.
Yeah. Vampire? Hmm.
Murder? No.
They're like, maybe someone should have said that, look, a little diagram. That has been a PowerPoint. I could knock up a wicked PowerPoint. Vampire, good. Murder, bad. So again, just to reiterate, 14 at the time. But in this case, during the discussions, I mean, normally with couple murderers, I mean, give me like your top three couple murderers. You should be able to reel them off.
Fred and Rose.
Yep.
Myra and what's his face?
Ian Brady. Yep. Yeah.
Thelma and Louise.
mine was like the same. Fred and Rose, Ian and Myra, Bonnie and Clyde. Yeah. Right. In all of those scenarios, it's sort of seen as like the man's really in control and the woman is just like enthralled by him,
yeah,
and swept up and gone along with it. In all of those cases, the woman is sort of like said to be under their spell, mm, and like coerced. In this case, it's Storm that's the driver. Like, she's the one that's instigating the murder, asking him, are you sure you want to do this? Let's do it. Like, come on. Mm. She's definitely the leading force in it. And she actually says, in her interview, she said, I felt like murdering for quite a while, and Falkior just hates me being upset, so it just sort of happened.
My
like, her
goodness.
Explanation of the sequence of events was just, yeah, kind of sort of one thing led to another.
Problem with teenagers is they've got all this stuff going on in their minds. I mean, obviously that's not a normal thought to have, but they don't tell anyone anything. They just talk to other teenagers. So teenagers giving other teenagers advice is just like the worst concoction known to man.
Yeah.
And they just, it's very secretive age. Well, so like, do you think this is a good idea? And like a normal perspective of being like, definitely not.
I just watched, before coming here, I watched an episode of Teen Mom UK. Not as glamorous as the American Teen Mom,
right,
in the slightest. And there's a couple on there that wanted to live alone, so they live in a caravan with their baby. And it was the girl's 18th birthday. They're struggling for money. They're obviously living in a caravan. He bought her a horse. He gave all his savings for a horse. They couldn't keep it in the field where the caravan was, so his mum and dad agreed to let him build a makeshift stable in their garden. It was literally a tarpaulin that went from the conservatory to the shed. It was about as big as a sofa. And they shoved the horse in it. It couldn't lie down.
Oh, my
and
God.
And literally, the people from the stables led this horse through the back garden of this semi-detached house, put it into this tarpaulin conservatory, and were like, oh, this is fine. Walked off. So,
and the camera crews that are filming, yeah, it going,
so not okay, just the teenagers that were stupid. I couldn't believe the amount of adults yeah, that allowed this to happen. And then they were like, shock, coming up, they have to return the horse. Of course they fucking do. There's like five adults here that are due to be prosecuted. Like, you can't just keep a horse under a tarpaulin. It was mental. Check it out.
Yeah, we'll do.
So anyway, back to
ludicrous.
I didn't regularly watch that. Farrah's crazy.
I've been watching Married at First Sight USA all day, so I'm not much better.
So back to Storm and Falkior.
Yeah.
April 2nd now, so not too long after they first started planning the murder. They meet at the McDonald's again to discuss the plan further. Storm talks in her diary about there being a madness inside her and that she felt like death was the only way to solve it. So again, you do start to feel a bit of sympathy. Like, she obviously is in turmoil and yeah, feels like there's no actual solution to it. The next day, April 13th, was the day that they start to put their plan into action.
God.
So the Mrs. Edwards, the main victim, worked at a primary school as a dinner lady. Now, this I dispute. I've met a lot of dinner ladies in my time.
Yeah.
Not one of those bitches wouldn't be able to handle themselves in a knife fight. They would, yeah, be able to fight off a 14-year-old boy, I'm not telling you. They would be able to murder a child with a fish finger at 20 paces. They're bulldogs.
To be fair, dinner ladies are badass.
They are fucking badass. They are like, it's like they've, it's what, I'll either become a dinner lady or a prison guard.
Yeah.
But the food's better here. Like,
yeah, they could launch a steel pan across a room.
So the alleged dinner lady, she seems too nice to be a dinner lady. But yeah, so the alleged in-laws, she went to school, went through to work. Storm and Falkior met straight from school themselves and went to her house. Falkior had a backpack with him containing 4 different knives. Not his fault. Spalding Boy Scouts, always be prepared for a stabbing. That is the motto. Or be prepared for a McDonald's fight.
Yeah.
Like, shit's going down at McDonald's.
Shit does go down.
Bring your knife back. Obviously, which would lead to be the murder weapon. So then, the early hours of April 14th, Miss Edwards, her daughter Katie, asleep. Falkior entered the room of the mum, stabbed her immediately in the throat, said to stop her from screaming, making a noise, but then smothered her to death. So the wounds weren't fatal in the neck, literally just to try and silence. Like, really close, incredibly... I mean, for the person, you're basically drowning in blood, like, completely horrific.
That is horrific.
So at this point, Storm just stood watching. Falkior did it all.
Mm.
She'd said to him, "Are you sure you want to do this?" He said, "Fine."
Nice, dumb.
Off they went. They went into Katie's room. The only difference is that this time, the girl refused to go inside. And
so Storm stayed outside?
Stayed outside the room.
I think she'd been that freaked out by the first one, going, "This is not how I imagined."
She says the thing that was getting to her was the smell of blood. So she asked that Katie be covered with a sheet. So they did the same process. They stabbed in the neck, then smothered. Except this time, Katie was covered in a sheet to stop the smell of blood.
Oh my God.
And later, Storm said that she'd planned it so that everything would be clean. I mean, obviously it wasn't, but in her mind, that's the way they wanted it.
Does blood have a smell?
Like iron. You get that, like if you taste it, it's like metallic-y.
Yeah. I don't think I've ever been around a large amount of blood, if I'm honest.
Your periods that sound delightful.
They don't smell of iron.
Like I feel like this podcast isn't catering to men.
Like a rusty old cord.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Can you smell rust? Don't worry, love.
Time of the
bomb. My tampon's loose.
Keep going.
So, I'm just letting loose tampon. I just want that image to be in everyone's mind for a moment. The next day, the police were alerted by a neighbour who was concerned that they hadn't seen them. So it had been about 36 hours later. The police came in and they discover the two bodies exactly as they were. They also discover a mattress downstairs. On it, Falkir and Storm. Stayed in the house.
What did they think? What was the plan? I mean, they knew they were going to get caught then. They were just like...
The original plan was to commit suicide.
Oh.
They were going to do the murder and then just immediately end it. And then afterwards, they said, well, once we'd done it... The main interviews are with Storm. I mean, Falkir didn't speak much, wasn't... he pled guilty, seemed to regret it. Storm, on the other hand, it was commented that she was really deadpan, no emotion.
Mm.
She mentioned that afterwards, she said, we didn't feel so bad about it. They decided to have a bath. Always feel better after a bath.
Mm.
I know the feeling.
Yeah, so, just wash that regret straight off.
Wash that blood right out of my hair. So, they did. They had a bath, decided to set up camp downstairs, and watched all of the Twilight movies.
Oh, God.
Like, if you could have picked the most
emo thing I've ever heard in my entire life.
Yeah, they had a Twilight marathon. They also had snacks. The snacks have been mentioned numerous times in reports. What snack would you have post-murder?
I mean, it's got to be a bloody good snack if it's coming up in all the newspapers. Something creative, like cheese with salami wrapped around, dipped in...
This is your most creative snack?
Yeah, I don't know.
They had ice cream and toasted tea cakes. Which, from my opinion, 36 hours, I'm going to be hungry in 20 minutes. In 36 hours in a house, I will have eaten about 10 meals.
Yeah.
Don't tell me toasted tea cakes. Oh, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Don't shit about the toasted tea cakes. That's not enough. So I just think they didn't know what to do. They thought they were going to kill themselves. They decided, actually... we don't want to go through with it. And I think they just thought, we're trying to just completely escape the reality. We'll just sit here and watch TV, no one will fight, and wait.
Eating our ice cream.
And then think about it later.
Were the snacks brought up because it was considered to be such a blasé food?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, they didn't even care. They had ice cream and toasted tea cakes.
Yeah, definitely. The details that are bandied about.
No one who regrets things eat toasted tea cakes and ice cream. To be fair, you don't, do you? If you're feeling sad.
I mean, I think they were doing everything to try and feel better. What do you do when you're sad? You have a bath, you have dessert.
You have some ice cream.
Like, that is not someone who feels totally happy.
No.
So I think they just literally didn't know what to do. But like I said, all throughout... So they were caught immediately, taken away.
Yeah.
Falkir pleaded guilty to murder. Storm pleaded guilty to manslaughter for not having actually taken part in the murders. But they both... ended up with the same sentence. I think due to the lack of sympathy people felt for Storm, she was, in her interviews, described as basically upbeat in tone.
Gosh.
Didn't seem bothered. Admit she didn't feel bad. She had, during the interview process, she was diagnosed with an attachment disorder, which I assume you can fill people in as the psychology expert.
I mean, that, yeah... I've met a kid with a attachment disorder before and spent the day with them just on a boat tour, and it's sort of that inability to handle your emotions and get really caught up. So when you're forming relationships, just being really sort of distraught at the end of them and over the top, but then sort of apathetic at times as well, and not having strong bonds to people who are actually sort of there for you, like parental figures and things. But I don't
well, she was diagnosed with that during the interview, and then a different doctor came and said no, and there was a lot of discussion around whether she could have a mental disorder and be capable of rational thought, and then the judge basically said, look, she's planned it in a rational way. But then my argument would be, to kill anybody is evidence of irrational thought. Do you not think?
Unless it's like... I mean, I guess it's like the kind of... if it's a crime of passion, it's sort of understandable.
The boy also diagnosed... they said he had a personality disorder. Basically, they said that he can't see himself as being separate from Storm. He is completely wrapped up in her. He does not care.
It's just a teenage relationship.
And he said he doesn't care if he lives or dies, so long as she's okay. Like, he is...
That's
just...
first love! Like... it's all consuming.
Which is basically what they said was the catalyst is just the intense toxicity of this relationship is basically what's driven them to it. And of course, their identities haven't been released still. There's a couple of theories about this. I went into a really deep hole on web sleuths. Like, those people are dedicated to the cause. But, I mean, it was quite upsetting as well. The fact that some people find out information, I don't like to think where they got it from. A lot of stalking on social media of family members involved that I'm not thrilled about.
I was thinking
about.
It would be easy to find out if you were, like, committed to it.
But I mean, theories, I mean, I'm not going to say exactly what they all found. If you want to go on web sleuths and look into it yourself, you can do, but I wouldn't broadcast.
No.
It. But that's fair. Some theories are that another reason why they still haven't released it is that they were that Storm is actually a family member of Mrs. Edwards and Katie, is closely related. Which would make more sense with the attachment disorder that you've just described. Other people suggest that maybe they went to the primary school where she worked, and that's where the long-standing grudge came from that was mentioned. If you want to go down that, you can go to web sleuths.
To make sure you've got a few hours ready.
Yeah.
To dedicate.
Definitely. But that was the Spalding double murders. Quite sad. They've gone to prison. They've gone to juvenile indefinitely, which is the same as a life sentence, but for juveniles.
My murder this week is Dr. Pritchard.
Please tell me he was called Richard.
Richard Pritchard. Not that I know of.
I want to marry someone called Pritchard and have a child called Richard.
No, he's just called Dr. Pritchard.
Dickie Pritchard.
And I use...
Tricky Dickie Pritchard.
And I use the term doctor loosely. It was back
was
in the...
Was it a PhD?
No. It was back in the days where you could just make shit up and no one could check. Like, so it's like, oh, I'm a doctor, everyone, I'm a doctor. Well, I think he sort of did train as a doctor. He basically...
How far back in the time machine have we gone?
He was around in the 1840s. He was a practicing doctor in Southsea in Scotland, which is definitely in the UK.
Definitely.
We're in the UK this
Not
week.
Not for long. Build the wall. Oh, wait, we did.
Oh, shit, yeah. We have to just make this just England soon, because that's all that will be left. Having come from a naval family, so his family were Navy people.
Oh, is that what it means?
Yep. He claimed to have attended King's College London, but when they later after all the drama, contacted King's College London, there was no evidence of him having studied there. So he was just a bullshitter, really.
Tricky, dicky bullshitter.
Yeah, and he got away with it. And
to be fair, like in the time, like when certificates were just handwritten, you could just write whatever you wanted.
I reckon you could get away with it now.
If you lived in Scotland, like, have you ever seen what a King's College London's degree certificate looks like? No.
And you're not going to know anyone from around there. He's like, oh yeah, I remember him. You could probably get away with it now. How many workplaces check certificates? Just bullshit. Give yourself a degree.
Could do.
Although I always have to show my certificates every time I get a new job every 6 months, so...
They don't trust you.
No, they don't trust me.
Tricky Dicky Lucy.
So, from 1846 to 1850, he worked as a doctor for the Royal Navy, travelling all over the world. So this is kind of just after he... qualified, with air quotes, and he met Mary Jane Taylor, who was a young woman from Edinburgh in 1850, and he was like, she's brilliant, I'm stopping travelling. This is
Whoa.
It. She's the one.
That never happened.
Stopped travelling. Didn't have any money. So he married her, and his mother and father-in-law, paid for him to set up a practice in Yorkshire.
Nice.
So I think that there was a little bit of like...
God's own county.
If you fancy stopping travelling, we'll pay for a practice for you.
Maybe she had a dowry.
Yeah, sort of like, she's not down with you travelling, we'll sort it out for you. So they've obviously had good parents.
How much are your parents having to pay Luke?
an awful lot. One cow and three magic beans.
It's all you're worth.
That's what I'm worth. So then he had time to have 5 children with his wife, because he wasn't travelling anymore.
That's free time.
5 kids. But he was known as a womaniser in the local area, so Pritchard was pricking it about. And he joined the Freemasons. So
not a fan.
No, an actual arsehole, I think. He was in debt, so he was womanising a lot. He was spending money he didn't have. He was in debt. He also wanted to add to his studies, so he was buying some more false qualifications. Just being like, oh, I've got a specialism now. Where he's like literally not been away anywhere. And he was having sex with female patients. So if there was a sexy lady came in. And I guess he can vet them as well if they come.
Well, it was this around the time, like, it was definitely the early 1800s where women were getting diagnosed with hysteria, and they believed, like, as a medical term, and they believed that one of the best cures for it was to bring them to orgasm.
Yeah, no, I heard about this on No Such Thing as a Fish, I think.
There's a really good film, there's a film about it.
It does sound like an iffy film. RedTube.
No, on Netflix, called Hysteria. But it's definitely based in historical fact.
What, where they're just jipping off women?
Yes.
Brilliant.
Chipping off.
Chipping off.
I've never heard that before.
I think I've just about to shut up. So it sounds about right though, doesn't it? So Pritchard sold his practice in Yorkshire and he moved his family to Glasgow, where he carried on shagging female patients. So he'd run out of ones in Yorkshire, so he gypped off the ones in in Glasgow instead. And he was giving lectures on shit that he had no idea about.
Very much so, like this. This is happening now.
Yeah. So in 1863, Elizabeth Gurn, a servant of Pritchard, died in a house fire at his house. Now, given...
So his house set on fire.
His house set on fire. His servant, female, died. People were suspicious, particularly given what they knew after this. But
was she pregnant?
Not that they knew of.
Oh, okay.
But she had remained, like, she'd just been lying in bed and she'd died. And, like, very often, if there's a fire, people are, like, up, they're trying to get out, they breathe in the smoke, and that's how they die. It's not that you just sleep through it. Like, usually you'd wake up. Well, they said either she could have been drunk, but they said that it could have been that she was already dead. Or that she was unconscious because someone had, like, given her tablets when the fire began. So people now think that he was probably shagging her and
needed to get rid.
She'd become a bit of a nuisance. So it was an easy way to get rid of her.
Don't jip on your own doorstep.
Yeah, don't jip off women under your own roof. So then he hired Mary McLeod to replace her. To replace Elizabeth Gurn, began sleeping with her. And he didn't try and conceal his affair at all from his wife. He's just shagging her whenever he felt like she knew all about it. And he promised Mary McLeod that when his wife died, that he would marry her. So she would become Lady of the Manor. So, like, she kind of went along with it for a long time because of that. Mrs. Pritchard then started to become ill.
No way.
No, yeah. So she...
Was it from the typhus?
Typhus! Yes. No.
Really? Oh.
She spent a lot of time in bed, and her husband was very, very attentive.
Of course he was.
So he was making her food, making her drinks.
Oh, it's just a little arsenic trifle.
Yeah, she...
Nothing to worry about.
So Mrs. Pritchard declined.
Enjoy your phosphorus pudding.
I mean, he could have been that blatant. He's probably shagging people on the bed next to her. Her decline was really fast, but she began to recover when she visited her parents. So she...
Stopped eating the arsenic trifle.
Yeah, the country air did her good, obviously. So they were like, oh yeah, no, she's getting better, she's fine. Went back home, became worse again. Started puking, started being in pain all the time.
I'm telling you. Big A.
So despite the fact that he was a doctor, Another doctor came and began to help with her treatment, and he became very concerned, and he wrote to Mrs. Pritchard's brother saying that he was worried about Dr. Pritchard's treatment of his wife. So he was like, something's not right here.
What an astute fellow.
Yes. And then Dr. Pritchard... So the brother basically said, right, well, she's going to come live with us then. This is ridiculous. And Dr. Pritchard went, no, she's too ill to move. She's very ill. Really ill. In fact, I think she's going to get more ill. So she's going to have to just stay home, I'm afraid. So instead, Mrs. Taylor, her mother, came to help. So Mrs. Pritchard began to get better for a while.
Right.
But then both women got really, really ill. And Dr. Pritchard summoned a different doctor. He was like, screw Dr. Gardner, he's a telltale. So he got Dr. Patterson to come, and he became very suspicious of the illness.
Just stop getting doctors to come. Like, you don't invite people to inspect your crime scene.
Yeah, particularly when you're a doctor. Just be like, I'm dealing with it, I'm qualified. Would you like to see all the qualifications hanging on the wall?
Why would you ask someone to investigate?
Yeah, weird. So he became very suspicious, and he suspected poisoning, but he couldn't prove it. And then Mrs. Taylor died. So, one down. Yeah, if you've got an annoying mother-in-law, just knock him off. Just jip him off. So Mrs. Pritchard became much more ill, and some members of the household had periods of illness. I mean, it was so obvious, because they'd sneak a bit of the lady of the house's food because she didn't finish her dinner, and then they'd suddenly start vomiting. So if they ate something intended for Mrs. Pritchard, they got ill, and then they'd recover. It was ridiculously obvious. Mrs. Pritchard died, and Mr. Pritchard signed the death certificate himself. So he was like, yeah, time of death, I was here, all legit.
Yeah.
So an anonymous letter, probably Dr. Patterson, which was the second doctor who came, was sent to the police saying the deaths were suspicious, and the police started inquiries. But it, obviously, she's already dead. So, a
bit late now, Patterson.
Yeah, thanks for that. Dr. Pritchard was arrested, so they thought something's going on, so they arrested him. He protested his innocence, and lots of people believed him. So they had all these people saying, oh no, he's a devoted husband, he'd never do anything like that. The bodies were exhumed, and both contained antimony, which is a poison that was from a plant. So not arsenic this time.
I was wrong.
Antimony. And although there was no evidence that Dr. Pritchard had bought...
I think you'll find it's pronounced antimony.
Antimony.
Not me, I'm joking.
Antimony. So I could pick me up. Let's edit all this out. Although there was no evidence that Dr. Pritchard had bought a lethal quantity of the poison, he attended... Dr. Patterson testified against him in court that he had suspicions, but out of professional etiquette, he had not said anything at the time. So he
sounds
like
it was out of laziness or don't want to make things awkward.
Yeah, absolutely. It was like, I don't want to be weird about it, but I think you might be killing your wife.
I'm pretty sure this guy's a murderer, but if I say anything, it's going to make things really awkward.
Yeah.
Like, it's going to make things a little bit tense in the staff room.
Yeah, basically. So he was heavily criticised for keeping quiet. People were like, if you'd said something, two people would be alive. You're a dick. I mean, it does make me think how many killers have got away with murder because people felt it was awkward and didn't want to make a fuss.
Yeah.
Like, well, you might be killing people, or I might be wrong.
Yeah, if I'm wrong, I'm going to look like a twat.
Yeah, I mean, he might have, like, Dr. Shipman, he might have murdered 72 old ladies, but they might just be a coincidence and I'm going to look like a twat.
Yeah, I don't want him to give me a funny look.
Yeah, I don't want to, like, be known as that person. So he did eventually confess to killing his wife.
Oh, he did?
Yeah. But he tried to make it sound like it was due to her madness. So it was...
She made me kill her!
Yeah, she was that nuts. Hard to do it. So he didn't want to seem cold-hearted. And he was hanged in 1865 in front of 100,000 people.
Wow. Crowd pleaser.
Yeah.
That's the end of episode 4. You're not getting any more from me, so you can jip off.
If you enjoyed it, go on iTunes, rate, review, subscribe. We're on Twitter at SlaughterThePod, Gmail, SlaughterThePodcast@gmail.com, and on Facebook. Please post your weird murders and your book recommendations so we can read through some of those, and have a really nice week.
See ya.
Bye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.